Recording from Emery's Grill in downtown Tahlequah, this is the Darren Cheverny Show presented by the NSU Alumni Association. I'm Maury Phillips, the voice of the River Rocks, and I am joined by the River Rocks Sports Nets, consisting of DJ Sean Solo, the man to my right, and Captain William Morgan to my left. Alongside us is the leader of NSU football, head coach Darren Cheverny. Before we get to the conversation, we'd like to extend a big thank you to the program's presenting sponsor, the NSU Alumni Association. Membership in the NSU Alumni Association is the most visible way to show your Northeastern pride. It's also the only way to enjoy River Rocks football in the comfort of the Bank First Green and White Room, the exclusive hospitality room at River Rocks home games. Enjoy free food and live stream River Rock action. And Alumni Association members can also enjoy all homecoming activities. That's coming up here pretty soon, including golf and champagne bingo for free. Learn more about membership at NSUAlumni.com. Northeastern State football took the field at Doc Wadley Stadium last Saturday, facing Missouri S&T for the first time since 1958. After Week 0 saw almost completely turnover-free play from both sides, it was the leading storyline of the home opener. The River Hawks picked off four Jake Farrell passes, with two interceptions coming from Marvelous Owens. Michael Esparza took one over 100 yards to the house from end zone to end zone, longest interception return in program history. Caden Walker had one as well, leading the team with 15 tackles. However, the River Rocks would turn the ball over four times, too. Miners would overcome an 11-point deficit by scoring on back-to-back possessions off NSU turnovers at the start of the fourth quarter, and NSU would never lead the game again. After Troy Wynn struck an equalizing 25-yard field goal with just over 12 minutes to play, his go-ahead chance from 29 with three to go was blocked. Miners would then lead a slow but steady 11-play, 54-yard drive across the next 2 minutes, 56 seconds before Lane Riles kicked a walk-off 43-yarder to take the win. Coach, tell me your thoughts on the game last Saturday.
You know, I thought, you know, if you take away those four glaring mistakes on the special teams and the offense, you know, I was really proud of our guys. You know, Cam had a really freak fumble on the second play of the game. The corner just stuck his hand out and knocked it out of his hand. If he doesn't do that, he might score on the play.
Yeah,
that kind of set the tone for the game. It was kind of an awkward game in that sense. I just felt like we were a little bit off offensively, where we weren't clicking in rhythm. But I was proud of the way our guys battled back. You know, hats off to Missouri S&T. They were a better team in person than what they've shown on film. But again, you know, four turnovers is hard to overcome. Even though they had their four turnovers, ours were rough. I mean, when they happened, especially the special teams one right after Donnie threw the pick and they scored, then we fumbled the kickoff return. You know, Cam, you know, he fumbled the kickoff return, which I was like, man, what is going on around here? So frustrating loss, to say the least, man. Was definitely disappointing. I thought we had a better team than that team, but you know, hats off to their staff, hats off to their coaches and their players. They made the plays when they had to make them. And, you know, Troy, the one that was blocked, the field goal at the end of the game, like, it was just a low kick. You know, he hasn't kicked that way all camp. And so there's a lot of things that it was like, man, that was just a weird night in Tahlequah. And, you know, highly disappointed as a head coach. That's a game that we have to win, and a game, especially in year two, that we need to win. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to keep going and keep coaching our team, and either way, I'm proud of those guys, how hard they played, because you saw the effort throughout the game. You saw the effort in the third quarter, even when we had those two big turnovers and they took the lead in 11 seconds, which blew my mind. We were up 24-10, and then all of a sudden we're down, but our offense had two big drives. We just didn't score touchdowns. We got to score touchdowns when we have those two big drives back to back, and we weren't able to punch it in. So disappointed in myself. You know, but we'll learn from it, and we do have a good football team. We'll continue to get better. Donnie will continue to get better as more he plays, and you know, you got to keep going forward.
Tough loss for the River Hawks. Still some great individual performances from this last Saturday to speak about. With more on that, we'll go to DJ Sean Solo for Banger Player of the Week.
Well, you know, at pregame, Maury and I both said that Roe was going to put 200, you know, all-purpose yards on the game, and he delivered. You know, if you had him on your fantasy team, he'd be another one like Chenault last week was, with, you know, 174 rushing yards. 174. There was, what, 21 on the
hit in the 217 air. All-purpose yards. Right. So if you add in the receiving and then the return yards,
yeah. Right. 17. And first since Joel Rockmore's 210 in 2015, and he also added a touchdown. Definitely the bright spot on the offense, really helped keep us in the game. So he was definitely the banger play of the week. But I have to also give a little side note saying,
yep,
the defense played their butts off. Really, them and special teams really helped keep us in the game when it was going the back and forth. So, but yes, Ramon McKinney with the banger player of the week.
Ramon was tremendous, and you know, the scary thing is this is the third time in the last seven games he's played where he's rushed for over 100 yards. His 174, as Sean just mentioned, most since Joel Rockmore. That was all the way back, though, in October of 2015. We've had a Riverhawk rush for as many yards as that. So a tremendous showing from him. And you see the human highlight reel that is Ramon McKinney on full display this last Saturday. Sean, going back to you, interested more in what you have to say?
I wanted to talk about S&T's defense. You know, there was a lot of talk that with their 3-3-5 scheme on how they would, you know, bottle up our skill positions. But, you know, from the booth, what I was seeing, they were almost doing like a four, just a middle linebacker and a bunch of secondary players. But and kind of kept Donnie under 200 yards throwing, and it was kind of up and down. It was effective at times, but was it more of coverage looks or execution or both on the offensive side of the ball?
We knew they were going to be a four down front. They switched their defense this year. Their 3-3-5 was last year. So their first game, they were all four down. Knew we were going to get four down. At the end of the day, I think, you know, turning the ball over on the second play of the game was really a factor early. And then, you know, we just weren't clicking to where we were consistent on third down. We were struggling early in the game on third down. We were in too many third and longs, third and eights, third and nines. And, you know, Roe got us going with some explosive plays. And, you know, I just feel like we were sworn in rhythm as far as Donnie seeing the field and seeing the receivers early in the game. He got in a rhythm later in the game. But, you know, like I said, hats off. That's college football. You know, very, very seldomly are you gonna roll someone. And so it was a good football game. It was going back and forth. We were down at halftime. We fought back in the third quarter. And we had over, you know, close to 400 yards of offense. Yep. And so that's a good showing offensively. What killed us was the three turnovers, the two fumbles and the interception. That's what killed us. We had a bad snap in our own territory that went over our quarterback's head. And then Donnie tried to do the best to try to throw it away. He's just got to eat it right there and fall on the ball.
Yeah.
And then he made a bad decision. He made the only bad decision Donnie really made in the game was the interception where the linebacker buzzed in a three buzz look. He's got to get off that read and get to his inside triangle, and he didn't. So, you know, Donnie will get better. Yeah. Donnie's going to keep developing. And we have talented players. Like I said, they played better than I thought they would. But credit to them and their staff and their team. That's why you play the games. That's why they turn the scoreboard on. That's why they bring referees in. They put the ball down. So, you know, we got to, you know, no one likes to lose football games, especially the head football coach. And so I was highly disappointed, but you learn from it and you move forward.
So I want to talk some about the pass rush. We talked about last week how S&T, they try to establish the air attack. Jake Farrell, 46 passes thrown. Fortunately, our secondary came down with four of them. But we were unable to put him on the ground via sack. And outside of the last Saginaw offensive possession of the opener, we've yet to record a sack this season. What's your thoughts on what we've seen up front from that defense so far?
We got to be better in our pass rush. There's no question about that. I mean, the three sacks we had this year, you mentioned, you know, the last drive of the Saginaw game, last drive of that Missouri S&T game. We've been bringing pressure, but we got to get to quarterbacks. We got to get off blocks. And we got to, when we do bring pressure and we blitz, then we got to get home on some of these guys. That's been an issue for us. It's also been hurting us a little bit in our run fits because we're blitzing and we're getting out of our run fits and guys are hitting, popping inside zones on us. We gotta shore up our defense. We gotta be more sound in our run fits because you can't always depend on turnovers. You gotta play good, solid defense. You gotta be able to stay in base looks and have run fits. Your defensive linemen gotta get off blocks. Your linebackers and your safeties gotta be in the run fit. We gotta get better at that. That's hurting us a little bit right now.
Well, Coach, DJ and the voice have covered many of the stats and the good stuff thus far. So let me back it up a little bit and talk about the coaches. So what are some of the strengths and some improvements that you see that the coaches and yourself need to make moving forward?
Well, I kind of touched on them on defensively. We got to be much better in our run fits up front. We got to be able to stop the run without blitzing all the time. You got to be able to play base defense. You got to play on a four down front. Your linebacker's got to fit. Your safety's got to fit. Your nickel's got to fit. And that's what really good defenses do. The teams that I played against in college football for the 20 years I've been in college football, that's what the really good ones do. The Washingtons of the world, the Utahs of the world, that's what they sit in, four down fronts. They don't move. They don't stem. They just play their gap integrity. We got to get better at that, you know. And then offensively, you know, we were very clean on offense as far as the first game, and the second game we were not. And that's what was our Achilles heel. If we don't have those three turnovers, we probably go for close to 500 yards of offense. But when you are turning the ball over and you're not being able to sustain drives, then you know you end up having 386 yards or something, whatever we had. So I was disappointed with the outcome of the game. You know, I'll learn from it. Our team will learn from it. But I still believe we have a really good football team, and we got to keep coaching them, keep developing them. We have 8 opportunities left, and we got to keep going. So I'm excited about that.
Great conversation up to this point. When we come back, we will talk about the next mission at hand. It's in Florence, and it's North Alabama. Stay with us. This is the Darren Chevrini Show, presented by the NSU Alumni Association. Welcome back to the show. A reminder that during football season, you can catch the show in person and live at Emery's Grill on Wednesday nights at 7. While you can also listen on the official radio home of NSU Athletics, Lakes Country 102.1, Friday nights before Keys football at 6. The show can also be heard on demand from the NSU Athletics website and on Spotify. While this also marks the first season that a video production of the show can be watched on demand on YouTube through the Rogue Radio Network channel, also home of the River Rock Sports Nest podcast. We'll continue the conversation, but first we'd like to thank our official radio sponsors for the upcoming season. Without their support, this show would not be possible. Tahlequah Family Vision Clinic, Archer Cleaners, Northeastern State University Relations, Chick-fil-A Tahlequah, The Wash Barn, Riverside Liquor, Napoli's Italian Restaurant, The Shockley Group, JT Van Attorney at Law, Rose Rock Coffee, Health First Chiropractic Clinic, Edward Jones, Jeremy McClure, and the Northeastern State University College of Extended Learning. Again, this show is brought to you by the NSU Alumni Association. For the first time since 2011, Northeastern State will face a Division I opponent in football, traveling to take on North Alabama in Florence. As Coach Chev mentioned in the previous segment, the Lions, they enter 0-2. They took a 9-point defeat at the hands of Southeast Missouri on the road this past weekend. Coach, certainly a big learning opportunity. This is a huge game for you guys. Once again, big underdogs on the road. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
You know, I think North Alabama is much better than their record says they are. You know, Coach Dierman's a good football coach, and he's in year 3 of his program over there in North Alabama. You know, a lot of speed on defense. They bring a lot of pressure on defense, especially on third down. You know, they're highly tendency as far as blitzing, you know, field and boundary on third down. So we got our work cut out for us there. And then offensively, obviously they have multiple quarterbacks that they play. You know, one's more of a running quarterback, one throws a little bit more, but, you know, I think that they're still probably trying to find their identity a little bit about what they're doing, but it's a great opportunity for us to showcase NSU on the road on ESPN. You know, I met with the ESPN production crew today over the phone. We had a really good conversation about our team and our players, and it's a great opportunity. It's a great recruiting opportunity for us, so people to see us and our brand, and also to see how much we've improved. You know, like, I've been here 20 months, and we've come a long way in 20 months. You know, what I like is that people expect us to win now.
Yep.
And so that wasn't the case before I got here. And so, you know, last year we were competitive, but I don't think people expected us to win. Now our team expects us to win, and I expect to win. And so that's why I was so disappointed that we didn't win that game, because I expected to win the game, but we didn't. But that's what you want a program to be. You don't want a program to be, well, I hope they show up today. Well, I hope we get out of the first half and not down 40. Right. You don't want that expectation. So our team expects to win. You know, I expect to win. I put that obviously on our staff and our players, but we got to keep coaching them. But I'm excited about the opportunity. I think it's going to be a fun game. You know, I think it's going to be a really fun game.
Definitely. I talked to their production crew as well today. One of the things they asked me is, how is the atmosphere different? I mentioned, well, a couple years ago, as you mentioned, it was a matter of, well, can we at least just stay with them and keep this thing within 2 or 3 scores? Now it's, all right, maybe we got a chance. Let's go out and go get these guys like we did 2 weeks ago. Talking about North Alabama, I want to expand on the quarterback situation. You already touched on it. They haven't quite figured it out yet, and that's something Coach Dierman's even talked about in the media this week, is they're still trying to work and find that identity at that position. The two guys we have seen are former Stanford quarterback Ari Patu, and we've also seen former Kentucky and Colorado signal caller Destin Wade. Patu was the starter last year before he went down to injury. Wade, you could argue, is the hotter hand. He had a couple late throwing scores last week against Southeast Missouri. One aspect you could probably expect from both is they're going to run with the football. They've combined for 148 rushing yards on the season. I know we struggled perhaps in putting Mason McKenzie on the ground in that aspect a couple weeks ago, similarly mobile. How do you anticipate Patu? How do you anticipate Wade? What do we do to minimize him?
You know, again, it goes down to being sound in your run fits. You know, McKenzie, to me, is one of the best D2 quarterbacks in college football, in my opinion. His athleticism was really on display 2 weeks ago. You know, I don't know if they're on that level of McKenzie, but they are good quarterbacks, and they are dual threat, and they're going to give you some zone read, some power read looks, and try to create some explosives in the run game that way. again, as far as stopping quarterbacks like that, that's where you have to have sound rules. You have to be fit in the B gap, fit in the C gap, and where's your D gap fitters? Whether it's a safety or you're playing squeeze scrape with your linebacker defensive end, you have to be sound in your run fits. And so I know Coach Tanavasa and our staff's been working hard on that. We've been doing a good job. Carter Kopecki's been one of our scout quarterbacks who's very athletic. So been giving him a great look. And so, you know, all you can do as a coach is you can prepare your football team the best you can, and then you got to let them go play.
Well, and that kind of goes into this week, and I don't want to reference last week so much, but there was a couple instances where the communication on the sideline, we couldn't get the right personnel on the field, which cost us, you know, obviously burning timeouts super early that might have helped us later in the game. But as coaches, how are you all approaching this week to build the game management, clock management, to hold on to those timeouts late in the game, well, in case it comes down?
It's not so much clock management. It's more like defensive personnel has to know when they're in the game. If you're going from nickel to dime or dime to base, you can't sub when they're tempoing. The problem that we got into defensively is that we're trying to sub as coaches and they're tempoing. So, yes, the coaches heard it from me on the sideline because I was not happy with that. As a defensive coach, whether you're a defensive line coach or a linebacker coach or your safeties coach, if a team is tempoing, you cannot sub. And we got caught in that twice, and that's why I had to burn timeouts. And one of them cost us because I couldn't call the timeout because we got a penalty and we got a fumble recovery, but we didn't get the fumble recovery because we had too many men on the field. And so that's right. Unacceptable as coaches. You know, I addressed it with our staff. I addressed it with the defensive staff, and they got to learn from that and get better. But that's not nothing to do with clock management. That has everything to do with being prepared and knowing what you can and can't do.
Sure.
Well, kind of going on with some clock management there, you know, we've seen some long, sustained drives this year early, especially with that 99-yard drive at Saginaw Valley State. So what's kind of been the key to sustaining those drives, and how do you emphasize the consistency in moving the chains against a D1 defense in Florence on Saturday?
I mean, I think you're playing too much into a D1 defense. They're players just like us. I mean, they have football players just like we have football players. So they got to compete against us like we have to compete against them. The key to staying on the field is that you got to have positive yards on first and second down. You can't play 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9 all the time. The problem against Missouri S&T, we played way too many 3rd and 7s, 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s. We got to play 3rd and 2s, 3rd and 3s. That means you got to have more positive plays on first and second down. Stay out of negative plays. That was what hurt us in week 2. So, you know, getting back to your point as far as like sustaining drives, you want to be in 3rd and shorts. And then you got to create an explosive within the drive. If you want to sustain drives, you got to be able to create at least one or two explosives, whether it's a run game or a pass game, to sustain drives in plus territory. And we were too much hit and miss in week 2. And, you know, that's something that not all the time you're going to be clicking on all cylinders offensively. You see it every day in college football. You see it in pro football. The key is that you have to get back to work. You have to get back to your process. And you have to do the little things at a higher level. And we're doing that this week. I think we got their attention. And I know our players are excited to go play a game on the road and play on national television.
Well, that's well said. Well said, Coach. So we're going to move on here to, speaking of offense, with the Ramon McKinney Jr. He's been a real spark for the offense on the ground. Obviously, it's been fun to see, especially with that performance against Missouri S&T. So tell me, I guess kind of moving up here, we've already talked about, you know, establishing the run, getting the offense going, and then sustaining the defense. But as far as, is there anything one particular that you're looking to move forward on offensively or defensively that you've not seen so far?
You know, I want to see us continue to develop our passing game. I thought we made a bunch of plays in the first game, didn't make as many early on in the second game. I want to see us be able to complete some down the field throws and get in the end zone. That's one thing that's been lacking. We've been able to hit some explosives, but I want to see us break a tackle and go score. And so I think you'll see some of that this week. I feel strongly about our skill versus their skill. We match up very, very well. And I'm excited to go play this game because I love to showcase our talents in front of a national audience. And I love to compete. So I love to be underdogs. I mean, you tell me we're 30-point. It doesn't matter to me.
Like, I want to be the underdog. I want to be the underdog every time.
You still got to play us. You know, still got to put the ball down, turn the scoreboard on, and bring the referees in. So. And I want to get back to playing. I have a bad taste in my mouth, and I know our team has a bad taste in our mouth.
Yep.
So let's go compete.
Yeah, I can see it in your face the way you're talking. Like you're ready to hit the field. But and that goes. I want to go back to getting the ball down the field. Donnie's done well. I know he came from JUCO. It was, I'll say, a little bit, you know, learning curve going into Division II. But how do you feel like he's performed in these first 2 games? And then, you know, we didn't see Dortch much at all last, you know, last week. Is that something that if we have struggles with offense again, that might be something you consider to maybe spark something or to be able to keep the chains moving? Or is it just
Donnie's the same? Donnie's the starter. You know, Darian's the backup. Darian has a role, and we play to that role. Obviously, we weren't many third and ones, third and twos.
True.
And we weren't any of those. So that's where Darian didn't have a role in that game. But Darian's been a great teammate to Donnie. I'm really proud of Darian because it's hard when you've been the starter and you have to be the backup. And he's handled himself with class, and I respect a lot Darian Dortch. But Donnie's our starter, and Donnie's going to continue to develop. Donnie's played well. He had the one major mistake. You know, the one fumble really wasn't his fault. It was a bad snap that went over his head, and he tried to make a play to kind of help, but he made a bad play worse in that sense. But really the one decision that I would question was the throw on the pick, and – you know, I got to call a better call for him. That's my fault. I'll own that as a play caller. So I'll take the blame for that. But Donnie's done a good job managing the offense. You know, we're one of the better offenses in D2. We just got to continue. We got to score a little bit more, which we will. And, you know, he's going to continue to develop. I mean, the kid is talented.
Oh, yeah.
And so you see his arm talent. You see the throws he makes in the games. So he'll settle in. I think he's still got a little – he's still kind of, you know, feeling his way through it. But that's part of playing four-year level football. You know, you saw Darian go through it a lot last year. And I think Donnie's ahead of where Darian was last year at this point. So I'm proud of both those guys, man. It's tough to play a quarterback at any level. And we have a good one. We have two good ones. We have three good ones with Kopecky, too. So, you know, I'm excited to see these guys compete.
Up next, we have the Captain's Catch with Captain Morgan, and we get final thoughts from the table. Stay with us on Lakes Country 102.1. This is the Darren Cheverny Show presented by the NSU Alumni Association. We return to the Darren Cheverny Show, presented by the NSU Alumni Association. We have a few more things to get to, but first, a reminder that we will be live from Florence this Saturday, 6 p.m. on Lakes Country 102.1, the official radio home of NSU Athletics. Kickoff of North Alabama game coverage starting at 5 p.m. with countdown to kickoff with myself and Captain Morgan on the call. Let's go to him for his captain's catch of the week. William, who are you looking at to really stand out in this matchup with UNA?
Well, this week I really want to see, as Coach has been talking about, consistency with the receivers and offensive line. I want to see Levante Chenault get him involved early, often if we can, but we've got a lot of other – get him involved early so that we can use the other receivers that we have, like Deuce and Mikey, get them going, Cam Woods. But to start it off, I want to see Chenault get it going early and often. You know, that could be a stripe weapon that swings the game. On the front end and on the back end. I mean, he's an NFL-type receiver, so it's hard to leave him out.
His stats have been really good so far. 17 catches, over 240 yards receiving. That's up near the top of Division II right now. Hopefully he's able to have another really good game for the green and white. One final reminder that the most visible way to show your Northeastern pride is through membership with the NSU Alumni Association. Make sure to download the Green and White Network mobile app for alumni and tap the Coach Chev Show tile. Fill out a form to enter to win a $25 Visa gift card while you receive a generous discount offer for Alumni Association membership just for taking time to fill it out. We'll do our second weekly drawing right here, right now. Coach Chev, if you don't mind, open up the Alumni Association jar and get us a name. Last week's winner, Tom Linehan, he's been removed now from the jar this week, obviously, but a lot of people to choose from.
And the winner is Marvin Blades.
A big congratulations to Marvin.
Come on down.
There you go. Yes, $25 Visa gift card winner. And again, if you'd like to enter next week's drawing, just make sure, again, download the Green and White Network mobile app for alumni, tap the Coach Chev Show tile, fill out the form, and boom, you're going to be in the jar for next week's Coach's Show. Great show tonight, folks. Final thoughts from the table. We'll start with Sean.
I just want to see the offense get back after it. And obviously, we've got the other game in the back mirrors. Let's go forward. Let's get the offense going and score points. Let's go.
Let's rock and roll, Captain.
Well, I look forward to making the trip to Florence this week to see you, Coach. It's always a pleasure to get, you know, an opportunity to see y'all play live, especially on the road. So looking forward to seeing a good performance this week on and off the field. Thank you.
Yeah, just excited to compete. You know, I have a bad taste in my mouth, so I want to get back to playing football.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to this week from Florence, Northeastern State, North Alabama. First FCS opponent since 2011. We'll get the party started this upcoming Saturday. We'll catch you next time. This has been the Darren Cheverny Show presented by the NSU Alumni Association.